there has never been anybody like you, nor will there ever be. And our job is to discover what those unique gifts and talents are that is completely our own making, which makes us who we are, and to express that with the world. And my embracing the habits of the sort of leader I would like to follow, even looking at it for a different lens, you can say, who are the leaders that inspire me? And how much of those traits am I embodying myself now? Great, we have a culture that is supportive. How am I going to show up and contribute towards this company achieving its goals?
Welcome back to Empower Your Life Show. I'm your host, Cindy Marie, a coach, speaker, and singer. And I'm here to show you the incredible power of embracing your authentic voice. We're here to express ourselves, not to impress. Join us on this journey as we share practical tips and inspiring stories to boost your confidence and empower you to live your best life. Whether navigating career changes or seeking personal growth, we've got you covered. Let's embark on this journey together. Today, I'm super thrilled to introduce a special guest as we delve into a topic close to my heart: authenticity and its profound impact on both personal and professional realms, as well as cultural dynamics. Whether you're a longtime listener or joining us for the first time, I extend a warm welcome and heartfelt gratitude for your support. Now, our guest, Simon Alexander Ong, is an acclaimed life coach known for his inspiring talks and workshops. He focuses on energy management, believing that energy is key to happiness and success. Simon helps people understand and boost their energy levels to transform their lives. He's been featured on major media platforms and has worked with top companies like Unilever and Salesforce to enhance well-being and productivity. Simon is also an accomplished author with his book Energize, winning awards for its valuable insights into wellness and well-being. Get ready to power up and ignite your journey as we dive in into energizing authenticity to radiate success with Simon Alexander Ong. Welcome, welcome, Simon.
Cindy Marie, thank you so much for having me on today.
Awesome. So, Simon, for many people who have yet to know your story as how you ended up where you're, what you're doing right now, could you share with us your story?
Sure. So my journey is from starting my career in the banking industry to beginning on the path of entrepreneurship towards what I now get to do today, which is coaching some extraordinary clients, speaking on stages across the world, and writing books. But it wasn't always that way. I grew up in the United Kingdom to two Malaysian Chinese parents who had wanted me to pursue a respectable career path. Nobody in my immediate family had worked for themselves or even started a business. They'd always worked for someone. And so given that experience, they wanted my brother and I to also pursue a path in life that had a respectable standing among society, but also paid well. And after watching films like Boiler Room and Wall Street, that led me to pursue a career in banking. Mm-hmm. So I went to the London School of Economics to finish with a degree in economics. And then I used that to enter the world of banking in 2007, mm-hmm. which was a bit of a crazy time, actually, Cindy Marie, because this was a year before the global financial crisis. Mm-hmm. And the company I began with was Lehman Brothers. So that was the beginning of a very volatile career in the financial services sector. I ended up being in that industry for nearly 10 years, moving between jobs and roles every couple of years. But even though the time was one of the most challenging and darkest of my life, mm-hmm. in hindsight, it was a beautiful blessing in disguise because it really got me thinking about what I wanted out of life. You know, for so long, I was living on autopilot. I was pursuing a life that I felt would give me that success and recognition and also to satisfy other people. Yes. But here was the moment for me to ask myself, what did success truly mean to me? And what do I see myself doing in the long term? Now, I didn't have all the answers to begin with, but just starting with that question opened my mind to the world beyond finance. And that led me to reading different books, going to seminars and workshops, working with coaches and mentors. And trying my hand at business. I tried a number of different things. They didn't work out, but it eventually led me to the world of coaching. And I found I had this gift of not only helping to guide people towards where they wanted to be, but also to help them navigate the everyday challenges of work and life.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And when you mention about this, something that happened in your life that you thought was actually the big tragedy is always going to be the blessing. And I love when you mentioned that there's always, it's a realization what truly means what we want to do in life, because that exactly happened in my life. The same thing as yours. You know, I'm originally from Philippines and I never had in my family members that really jump into entrepreneurship, even though I would say, you know, my mom actually experienced that, but it's always like having this scarcity mindset when it comes to money. So I thought, you know, you just can kind of follow that pattern. And when you mention about this transition and in which we're going to cover that early later on about the authenticity as well, it's just a very interesting as how we elevate ourselves in a very scary journey. And in today's topic, we want to talk about how authenticity actually could help you radiate to success. And before we dive in the leadership, Simon, could you help us? What is your definition of authenticity, and how is it actually one of the key factors that could create a great leadership?
So I think there are two questions here. So one is my definition of authenticity.
Yes.
And the second is, what are the contributing factors towards great leadership?
Yes.
So if I start with authenticity, for me, authenticity is living a life that is true to your values, and also living a life in which you can be proud of, that allows you to express who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is meant by living an authentic life. Unfortunately, so many of us in society, we go around doing our day-to-day tasks wearing masks.
Yeah.
Now, what I mean when I say we're wearing masks is that we're trying to be someone we are not in order to fit in order to conform. But there has never been anybody like you, nor will there ever be. And our job is to discover what those unique gifts and talents are that is completely our own making, which makes us who we are, and to express that with the world. That is what I mean by living an authentic life, is when you understand what makes you you, and you can build a life around that where you can express those gifts through different channels. And you can remain who you are despite all the external stuff. So some of this external stuff could be things such as success or recognition or accomplishments. Mm. You know, one of the things I often say is that the biggest challenge in life is not becoming successful, because we have all the tools and resources to become successful. The biggest challenge is remaining who you are after you have become successful. Because what tends to happen is, once somebody becomes successful, they get complacent, or they start to have a lot of ego, and they forget their roots. They forget where they came from. They forget the people who had helped them get to the top of that ladder. So authenticity is living a life true to yourself, living a life true to your values, and doing the work that allows you to express who you are and your potential. Now, when we think about great leadership for me is really about three things. The first is understanding that if you want to lead others, it begins with leading yourself first. If you don't have the discipline to lead yourself, how can you lead other people? And this is because people don't follow what you tell them to do. People follow your actions. People follow how you show up. People follow your behavior. It's the same thing when you look at families. You know, young children may not always listen to their parents, but they will always be influenced by their parents' behavior.
Yes.
So they will look at their parents and they will copy what they see their parents doing. So this is why leadership begins with you. So when you think about being a better leader, ask yourself, am I embracing the habits of the sort of leader I would like to follow? Or even looking at it through a different lens, you can say, who are the leaders that inspire me? And how much of those traits am I embodying myself now? So that's the first thing. Leadership begins with you. Second, it is to understand that when you are in an organization, communication is one of the most important skills that you can develop. So if you have the ability as a leader, now when I say leader, I don't necessarily mean you have to have a title that tells people you are a leader. Yes. You could be a junior in a company and you could still demonstrate leadership qualities. Leadership is not about a title. Leadership is how you show up and how you engage with other people. So the second characteristic is your ability to communicate with other people that shows you have empathy and understanding. Can you communicate with others in a way that energizes them, empowers them, and inspires them? Because if you can, you are a leader. Leaders are people who can communicate with others to inspire and move them towards action. That is leadership. And the third, for me, is the ability to listen. Do you have the patience to listen, to understand somebody? Because when you have that ability to listen at a deep level, not to respond, but to understand, then this is how people feel connected to you. People feel like they are trusted, they're heard, and they are appreciated. In fact, it was Stephen Covey in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, where he said, seek first to understand and then to be understood.
As for you, in your book, you mentioned speak less, listen more.
Absolutely.
Yes. And do you think that authenticity is easily applicable or implemented in organization as a leader?
I would say it is only easily implementable if the leadership has created a culture where people feel like they belong, where they feel part of a community, and where they can express their ideas and contribute towards something bigger than themselves. If they have that belonging, purpose, and safety, then it's a lot easier for people to be authentic. But it's very difficult to be authentic if you are in a company that has a culture that makes you feel like you do not belong, that there is fear, and that there is no purpose beyond your day-to-day job. If you don't have those things in place, how can you find it easier to be authentic? You have to hold back a lot of who you are in order to satisfy the people above you. And so I think when we look at companies, it's really a two-part job here. On the one hand, those at the top have to decide what culture do I want to create in order to bring out the best in people. And then on the other side, the employees have to think that, great, we have a culture that is supportive. How am I going to show up and contribute towards this company achieving its goals? Now, if we can focus on the two parts, that's where authenticity becomes a lot easier. But if employees are told, you've got to be more authentic, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, but we're not going to give you the culture to do so, well, you're making it a lot harder for me to be authentic. Because if I'm authentic, I may not get the promotion, or I may be fired, or I might not be considered for this project because I shared my true feelings. And so this is why this sense of being part of a team, feeling like you belong and feeling like you have purpose is so crucial. You just have to look at the sports industry. When you have a team that functions well, it's because they feel like they belong. They feel like they have safety in numbers. They feel like they are contributing to something bigger than themselves. They don't see themselves as better or worse than someone else. They see themselves as equals, that I can learn as much from you as you can learn from me, and that we are going to get through this together.
Yeah, it's, and this is actually one of the reasons why I quit corporate job. It's because, as I mean, sharing a little bit my story before I jump into entrepreneurship, which still consider baby, I felt like slowly my authenticity coming out stronger. Yeah. And I can't express that with the company that I have worked with. However, as what you said earlier, that there's always a beauty or a blessing in a challenging moment at that moment, because I felt like I kept on trying my very best to prove my validation and worthy. But then I don't see it. And I always, because I
that's why I ended up in coaching because the skills, you know, and I said, well, if I didn't see that I was in the wrong or incorrect environment because I was also a people pleaser. Yeah. So you can imagine how much things that I have to work on myself, but I truly agree that it requires a lot of work. And I think I actually asked my husband earlier, do you think that authenticity is easily applicable? And I asked him first, what is your understanding about authenticity? Because it's very interesting as how people actually have a different understanding about authenticity. And it's going to be great if you have such company that truly have big vision, that you practice what you preach, that we really embrace self-awareness and consciousness. But in chapter 2, you mentioned elevate your consciousness. So I believe there's a difference. Could you elaborate or help us understand the distinction between this self-awareness and consciousness? And how would you think these concepts really help us to connect meaningfully with our authentic selves?
So there are similarities between awareness and consciousness in the sense that as you elevate your level of consciousness, which means you can see things outside of yourself rather than just through yourself, what happens is that high level of consciousness stimulates more awareness. So usually a lot of us, when we go through events in our day-to-day life, we are on reactive mode. So when something happens, we emotionally react. We lash out, we express our frustration, we express our anger. But when you are living life at a higher level of consciousness, what happens is you are able to see things at a more macro level. You are able to understand that some of these trivial things just do not matter. And so you put things in perspective. Now, if I were to use an analogy, when you elevate to a higher level of consciousness, it is the equivalent of taking a glass elevator that takes you up to the highest floor outside of Earth, and then you look down and then you see the planet. Suddenly at that level, everything that you were worried about feels tiny in comparison. So this is what I mean by elevating a level of consciousness. We are able to see things at a macro level, and we are able to understand, does this matter long term, or is this something so trivial I shouldn't let it consume my emotional energy? So that's where I see consciousness. Now, of course, as you elevate your consciousness, you begin to be more aware. And awareness is key, because you can't change what you're not aware of. And this is why self-development begins with self-awareness. So how awareness comes into this, awareness is understanding your strengths, your weaknesses, your passions, the things that give you energy, the things that drain you of energy. When you begin to understand yourself through that deeper level of awareness, you are then able to channel your energy into the things that matter. Now, the reason why we're not aware is because we don't want to do that inner work. It's why I say in the book, the longest journey we make are the inches from our heads to our hearts. Never an easy journey, but the most fulfilling that you will ever embark on. And that is because deep down inside of ourselves, we know the things we have to do. We know the things we have to do to make the changes we desire in our life. But what stops us are fear, doubt, questions, the inner critic, validation from other people. What would other people think? Would they like the decision I'm going to make? All of those things prevent us from taking action. But if we are aware of some of those obstacles, then we can begin to surmount them by drawing on particular tools and techniques to make sure that we avoid them and focus on expressing our potential. So that's how I see consciousness and awareness.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. Have you ever experienced, and I'm just super curious, if with your current or maybe previous clients or your, no, not you, but your previous clients in your experience, that you have coached them and later on, as the coaching started to get difficult, then they step back and quit? Because I felt that I remember the first client of mine, as we dive in more and more, it gets harder and harder because everything is about you. Yeah. And then many, many people, in this case, the entrepreneur that I have worked with, constantly blaming the outside rather than taking in. And then in the end, decided not to continue because it's getting harder for that person to accept it. Have you ever experienced that? And how did you move forward for that specific situation?
Sure. So if I'm honest, I've not really experienced that. But there's a reason why. Because before I begin any coaching relationship, I say to them, please only sign up. Please only begin this partnership if you are ready to be challenged, if you are comfortable with the unknown, and if you are ready to get uncomfortable in our conversations. Because if you are not ready for that, let's call this a no for now. Let's stop and pause. And when you are ready to be challenged, because growth only comes from being challenged and going out of your comfort zone, then you know where to find me. But if you are ready, then from day one, I am going to challenge you to overcome the obstacles that have previously held you back so that you can begin the path towards who you are meant to be. If you're ready for that, and if you're ready to do things perhaps you have never done before and explore areas of yourself that have previously been dormant, then I'm excited by the adventure ahead. I caveat the relationship ahead of time. And I just say, this isn't for you if you're not ready for it. And it's fine. Not everyone's ready at this stage. I mean, we've had a great conversation, but I just want that to be clear that I can only work with you and we can only both see the benefits of this partnership if this is something you are ready to dive into and commit fully. If you're only looking to go into this with 50% focus, you are going to be doing a disservice to you and me. But if you are going to go into this with 100% focus, you are ready to be open 100%, then I have no doubt that in the time we work together, you are going to transform. You are going to go through your own personal metamorphosis, and you are going to look back and never, never want to be who you were before, because you now see a different version of yourself evolving.
That's amazing. People who's watching or listening right now, that's a script for you to take note. I remember that was my first client, exactly the same thing as I've mentioned, because, you know, I call myself a loving and rebel. So I may look like a loving, but once the work is started, that's it. You know, and I think a lot of people, especially when you mentioned the 50-50, that's the difficulty will kick in. Yeah. And I think it goes to the self-awareness and consciousness. How much are you willing to take actions that will be inconvenient for you to see the beauty of what you have desires that you never seen into your life? That requires a lot of unknown. And I think in terms of entrepreneurship, it's there, and it's not for everyone, right? Entrepreneurship is not for everyone. And so for me, when I remember that particular area, because then I said, well, okay, I remember that specific moment. I got like, what did it just happen? You know, I felt like guilty, whatever. Did I just push so much? But then I realized right now that people are just not ready, and you have to move forward, right?
Not everyone is going to be ready, and that's fine. But your job is not to coach everyone. Your job is to give people an experience of what coaching can be like, open their eyes to the possible transformation, so that when they are ready, they know who to speak to.
Yeah, and I think that correlates with authenticity, because you've got, in my opinion, to be true to with yourself as how you express yourself in your coaching journey, you know, because that truly reflects to who you're going to resonate with as your potential clients. And this where I'm super curious, Simon, because in my journey, as I express more authenticity, so it also impacted my relationships. And so as an agent, so I'm super curious to know your thoughts, the acceptance of authenticity in Asian cultures, because I mean, you you've been raised in UK, and however, you also have Asian family circles. So I'm not sure whether you have felt that kind of authenticity is not welcome, or is it easily expressed? What are your thoughts on that?
Great, great question. I think that it hasn't been easy. I'm not going to lie. It hasn't been easy being authentic without managing that authenticity. Because, you know, you look at the personal development world, the world that we both operate in. How many authors, when you go to a bookstore, are from an Asian background, specifically in my background, Chinese? How many motivational speakers on some of the biggest stages in the world do you see are from a Chinese or East Asian origin? Few, if any. I didn't know any when I was working my way on this entrepreneurial journey. And so the reason you don't see many of us on stage is because we've grown up in a culture where we believe that the path to success is to work in a good job for a very long time, move up the corporate ladder, and get a nice pension at the end of it.
Yeah.
And so when I was starting my business in the early days, when I was transitioning out of the corporate world to start my coaching business, I wasn't comfortable telling my family that I had left the corporate world. And so I remember my dad would Skype me at the time. They were using Skype back then. Now it's all about Zoom. But back then it was Skype. He was using that to call me because he was abroad at the time. And he would ask me questions such as, how is work going? Are you getting a promotion? Are you doing well? And I would just buy myself time. I would say, the economy is tough. I'm still trying my best to work up the ladder. Maybe I might get another job where I can get a raise on my current salary. But right now it's tough. I just got to keep my head down, keep working, and hopefully that work will be recognized. But what they didn't know was I was already out of a job. I was already planting seeds towards building my business. Mm-hmm. And the time that I came to share it with them in a very authentic way was when I started to experience some success. And this is a little paradox in Asian culture, in the sense that families don't want you to do something that is unknown. But if you're successful at it, they're supportive. But the irony is you can't be successful at it unless you try it. And so there's this bit of a paradox that goes on. And so if I told my family, I'm going to quit the finance career, even though you've invested in my education, and I'm going to go into something unknown that I have no idea will pay me or not, and I don't know if it's going to work, think of their reaction. They would say, why are you doing it? Why are you giving up your degree? Why are you giving up this stable job that pays you a salary, a bonus, and benefits for a path where there is zero visibility? But then suddenly, when you experience some success, and I remember sharing on my social media an interview I did with the BBC and Sky News, and my family started sharing on their social media, which was amazing. They started sharing on their social media. And then they go, wow, look at that. You're very successful at this. I want to tell my friends about what you're doing. And so there's this interesting paradox where I had to achieve some success first before I could more openly share with my immediate family.
Wow. I completely understand and resonated with that. To share with you my journey, it wasn't easy. It's not the same as yours. Basically, my family don't understand. Like, why are you doing what you're doing? And even my friends, they're like, don't you miss having these corporate meetings? You know, da 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 da. It's like, no, I'm happy where I am right now. And many actually thought that I was just like, you know, having this hobby out of being bored. And I'm like, no, I'm committed with it. And so we'll fast forward, like, still baby, 4 years doing this now. And people started to see, oh, you're serious. I said, yes, I am serious. And still people, you know, it's challenging because there's so many emotion involved. And your energy will be also sucked in a negative or unpleasant way. And I was just like telling myself, when it comes to spiritual growth, I have a reason, meaningful reason, why am I being called of sharing authenticity? And you're right. You know, there are so many little numbers of people that expressing your authenticity, especially in the Philippines, is just very, very different in my opinion, that we are so magnetized with consuming the entertainment rather than, you know, learning, being curious what we can do more.
And this is exactly it. The fact that if you want to live like most can't, you have to do what most won't. And most won't make the sacrifices that you and I will make. Most won't make the choices that you and I will make. And most won't think any different than the majority. It is a lonely journey. When you begin on a path that only you know to be true, that connects to your inner values, the beginning is always lonely because nobody gets you. Only you get you. Until you have some success and then you build a tribe and you build a community and then you can connect with other people who are on a similar journey to you. It is very lonely at the beginning, especially when you don't know if it is going to work out, which of course none of us do when we first start. But I think that if we are consistent at doing the habits and doing the actions that are required in order to achieve success, we will get there at some point. And then the people that ask you why at the beginning will eventually ask you how. How did you get there? How did you do that? How did you achieve this? So we can, just going back to what we were talking about earlier about leadership, the best way to lead others is to lead ourselves. So when we lead ourselves by being the example of what can be possible, when we focus on our mission and our vision, we then lead others. Because then other people want to follow our journey. Other people become inspired by what we have achieved. And that is how we move people to action.
Absolutely correct. And you're absolutely correct that it's lonely. Thankfully, I'm very comfortable being lonely. Not alone. I'm comfortable being alone. And I'm not lonely being alone. But it can be really tough, because especially when it comes to your family, they don't understand you. And we mentioned, I mean, your book is about energy.
Yeah.
And you have to create that boundaries. And I have created strong boundaries with people that no longer serve me. That includes my family. And, you know, they might not understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I have to really build that, thanks to spiritual growth, spiritual journey. I love them anyway. But I have to create that boundary, because I have to maintain that energy so that I could lead by example. And that's what you said, share and show them that you can shift from what we have been conditioned to showing who we truly are, and you know, express that in any form, in any creativity that you have, and have fun, even though it's unknown. It's scary, but it's unknown.
Scary and exciting at the same time.
It is. And so the next question I have for you, Simon, because I practice optimism. I don't know if you do optimism, but I'm sure that you have so many things, tools, modalities, resources that you do that you have shared already. So I want to be selfish a little bit. Is there something that you haven't shared to many people that interviewed you, that part of keeping you energetic and energized, that you could share with us? And how does it actually help other people as well to practice or experiment?
I think one of the easiest ways that we can feel energized is simply blocking out time in your diary for you. You know, I've shared a lot of different things in interviews, like habits and environment and moving your body and feeding your body right. But I think the simplest thing you can do now, if you want to put something into action now, is to look at your calendar for the next few weeks and start blocking out time for you. Because what happens is that when we begin each workday, we get a meeting come through into our email as a calendar invite. And then we say yes. And then we have a social event we say yes to. And then we have a holiday we book into our diary. But when was the last time we deliberately and intentionally booked out time just for us? Mm-hmm. Me time. Because unless you block out me time in your calendar, somebody else is always going to put something into your calendar to take that time away from you. So when you block out time in your calendar for you, you're able to live more in the present. You know, a tragic scenario so many of us go through is that we live as if we are never going to die and then die having never really lived. Mm-hmm. But if we start blocking out time for ourselves, we can live more in the present. We can enjoy life. That is what we are born to do. It is to work to live, not live to work. And so if I look at my calendar, Monday and Tuesdays every week are blocked out. Wednesdays some weeks are blocked out. I call it my date day. I get to spend time with my wife because we can't do it on the weekends. We have a daughter, a young daughter. So our time is with her during the weekends. Mm-hmm. And so Monday and Tuesday is my block day. It's just for me. I record content. I go for long walks. I spend time in the outdoors. I read. I just do whatever I want to do. And there is a lot to be said about those nothing moments, those nothing days, those nothing hours where you can just be, where the mind can settle, the mind can relax and rejuvenate. Because if you give yourself these regular me moments, what happens is you come back to the desk feeling reset and re-energized. A simple thing that we can all do, but few of us actually do in practice.
Yeah, I love that. Slowing things down to speed up life.
Indeed, indeed. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yes. And for what you have mentioned, the me time, when it comes to entrepreneurship, I have observed many people don't even provide me time because of the idea that I have to put more of my exposure of my content, my blog, and this and this and that. What is your suggestion for many people that really hustling and bustling, that to create intensity of increase the possibility of creating clients or customers, to really go for a me time? Because it's just, I think many people have that mindset that when you rest, you're actually putting a waste for the time that you have.
Well, the way I see it is that work and rest are partners of the same team. They're partners of the same team that are necessary for you to thrive over the long term. If you are in constant doing mode, so you're always busy, you're always in movement, sure, in the short term, that might be helpful. You might feel like you're going places. You might feel like you are very productive. But in the long term, it is difficult to keep that up. You will burn out. You will have health issues. You will have a diary that is overwhelming because you're saying yes to so many things. Mm-hmm. And so it is to understand that work and rest are partners of the same team. Now, if we imagine a spectrum, if you exclusively focus on work without regarding rest, what happens is you will burn out. Now, if you go to the other side of the spectrum, if you just focused on your rest without thinking about the work you have to do, nothing gets done. You don't make any progress. So there needs to be a balance between work and rest, and you have to discover what is your own rhythm. What is the rhythm in your day, your week, and your month that you can create that allows you to have periods of deep focused work and periods of intentional rest? And the fact is, the harder you work, the harder you must rest. Mm. We can see this in sports men and women. If you were to train every day intensely ahead of the main event, then what happens is when that main event comes, you are exhausted. You are tired. You might even be prone to injury. Yes. But when you train towards an event, athletes know the importance of rest as much as the work. Yes, you have to do the work, so the body is conditioned to do the work when it comes to the main event, but you also need to rest for your muscles to recover, for your body to recover, and for you to grow as a result of your training. And it's the same with us. If you're in constant doing mode, how are you giving your mind and body the space to connect all of those stimuli and dots that you are creating and absorbing in order to make sense of the world? It is why when you go on a long flight to another country, people often come out of that saying, wow, I really enjoyed being in the air. Well, you enjoyed being in the air because you were disconnected from the internet, from people, from business, and you were just being. You were just in the moment. And when you're in the moment, your mind can make sense of all of those thoughts that you are having every day.
Love it. And how, my last question about that before, because I think for me, I practice so much and advocate so much the word fun.
Yeah.
Do you practice the fun? Because I think it's important in entrepreneurship that you have to practice that fun and not constantly being serious of what you do.
Yeah. Fun makes the journey a lot easier and also more energizing. So one of the questions we can ask ourselves, if something feels like a chore or if something feels like it is draining you of energy, but you know you have to still do the process, especially when it comes to running a business or taking your idea out into the world, is to ask yourself, what would this look like if it was more fun?
Mm-hmm.
What would this look like if it was more enjoyable? And then maybe it's just doing what you are doing in a different way. So for example, if I'm going to networking events on a regular basis, but it drains me because I'm like, well, how do I know I'm going to speak to the right people? How do I know if it's going to be worth my time? Then an alternative approach, maybe an even more fun approach, is to say, hey, maybe at the next event, I'm going to go extra early and I'm going to go to the front row to sit there so that I can be right in front of the speaker. I might even have a chance to talk to the speaker. Or I might get to meet the speaker's team, or I might get to meet some cool people also on the front row. So suddenly it becomes more of a game than being seen as a chore or something that is draining in energy. So just doing what you are doing in a different way can transform your relationship with it.
Beautiful. I love it. Yes. Trust in within and you have fun and keep moving forward. And so I believe that audience watching or listening right now really got a lot of insights from that deep conversation that we have or you have shared with us, and where they can find you and how they can grab or where they can grab your book and speaking engagements and so on.
Sure. Thank you so much, Cindy Marie. So I am on all the major social media platforms, but the three that I use the most are LinkedIn, Instagram. My handle on Instagram is @SimonAlexanderO. And YouTube. So you can check out some of my videos on YouTube. You can also subscribe to my newsletter. So every week I share insights and quotes of wisdom that have impacted my life. And if you haven't yet got a copy of Energize, you can do so either via the website getenergizedbook.com or via Amazon if you have Amazon in your country.
Beautiful. Thank you for that, Simon. But before I let you go, Simon, I have bonus question. And this is something that you can, it's something related with your daughter. And her name is Sienna.
Yeah.
Sienna. And how old is she?
She is 3 at the moment, but she will be 4 in a couple of weeks' time.
And how does she call you?
She calls me Dad.
Okay. So this is my question. So just imagine your daughter, Sienna, comes up to you and asks you a question that she may heard or seen somewhere. Dad, what does authenticity mean? Can I be like that?
So if she asked me that question, what does authenticity mean? Can I be like that?
At the 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is that authenticity is the courage to be you. Despite what others may want or what you think others want of you, the courage to be you. And can I be authentic or how do I be authentic? I would probably say to her, you are already authentic because you are of pure thought, you are questioning, you don't have any judgments of people. And I think these are the things we unfortunately tend to pick up as we get older. As we get older, we judge people quicker, we react faster. Without pausing to reflect and realize that every single one of us is going through a challenge that we may not be aware of, that we may not understand or even see. So if we can connect with people through kindness and compassion, and by just being us, then what happens is that's how we can live an authentic life. Because connection is the key piece of that. the way we connect with other people is by being our authentic selves.
Yes. Beautiful. And being intentional. Wow. That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Simon. And for everyone watching or listening right now, if you found this episode super, super valuable for you, please go ahead and share it. The more, the merrier, so we can empower and transform and let many people be unstoppable. Until next time, with yours truly, Cindy Marie, here to empower your life. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you so much.
Great conversation with Simon. I hope you got powered up and energized with the wisdom and incredible insights that truly deepen the importance of authenticity for your success, whatever success means to you. So share with us, what have you learned or the insights that you got from this episode? Drop your comments below and don't forget to hit subscribe, give our podcast a follow and rate a review so that our show will grow organically. We love to continue serving you in the best way. Until next time, stay optimistic, express that authenticity, keep taking action, believe in yourself and stay on your game because you've got what it takes to achieve your dreams and make an impact on this planet. Be unstoppable.